Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us at the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Admiral Thad Allen, Commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard. Good morning, Admiral.
Good morning.
And also joining us on our conversation, also from IBM, is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Admiral, perhaps you could share with us a bit of the rich and proud history of the United States Coast Guard as it celebrates its 216th anniversary as one of the oldest U.S. government agencies. Can you tell us who founded the Coast Guard and how has it evolved into the critical component of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security?
Well, Al, the Coast Guard was really the brainchild of Alexander Hamilton, and you can first find a reference to a Coast Guard-like entity actually in the Federalist Papers, where he states that a few vessels stationed at the entrance to our rivers and bays would at very small expense be useful sentinels of the laws. When the first Treasury Department was formed in 1789 and he was the Secretary of the Treasury, he envisioned fleet of cutters that would enforce the new tariffs that were being applied to help us pay off the war debt. There was a lot of British smuggling going on at the time. So on August 4th, 1790, there was legislation approved that would authorize the building of the cutters, and we take that as a starting date of the Coast Guard. We were the first customs officers, and during a period in the late 1790s when we had disbanded the Continental Navy, we were the only maritime force that the country had. And so when we had a quasi-war with France, our cutters were the line ships for the fledgling government. So right at the earliest possible time in our history, we really started out as a dual-character service. We're a member of the armed forces, a naval service, and we're also a federal law enforcement agency, and we are unique in the world in that regard.
Admiral, you talk about this uniqueness of as having both the dual military and law enforcement status. Could you elaborate a little bit on the scope of your multi-mission agency? How is it organized? And tell us how large the Coast Guard is and give us a sense of the scale.
Well, we're not very big. With our military members and our civilians, we're anywhere between 45 and 50,000. We have 8,000 selected reservists. We have about 36,000 volunteers at Coast Guard Auxiliary, which are terrific and help us out a lot. But the basic, I would call it the organizational genius of the Coast Guard is the fact that without having to have a bunch of different agencies do different jobs, we have one agency that can shift its focus and its people and its capability and its platforms to do a specific job one day and then a different job the next day. I recently visited Canada, and we had a summit with the Canadian Coast Guard. And they do search and rescue and law enforcement up there, but to meet all the different entities that do the jobs that we do around the United States, we had to meet with Transport Canada, the Department of Public Safety, and their military. So if you can imagine being able to cover all those different types of roles in a single agency and not have to build all those different agencies, that's our economic model that we offer to the government. We think we're a pretty good value.
Now, on the at first brush, folks may think of the Coast Guard as being of having a domain immediately around the United States, but in fact, you have a worldwide purview.
Especially as it relates to defense operations and our law enforcement capabilities. For instance, we have authority and jurisdiction over U.S. flag vessels anywhere they might be in the world for the purpose of enforcing U.S. law. And as we speak this morning, we have patrol boats deployed in the Persian Gulf that are protecting the oil platforms off of Iraq, which are their major source of revenue right now.
Admiral, let's talk a little bit about your specific responsibilities. You're the 23rd Commandant of the Coast Guard. Can you tell us a little bit about your role within the organization?
Well, I'm the Chief Executive Officer. This is a more like an aquatic holding company in some regards. We do search and rescue law enforcement. We deal with homeland security issues. We do polar ice breaking. Managing that portfolio and making sure you have the resources to be ready to do that and also to be mission effective is probably my number one job. And it takes a little bit of understanding as far as how you run the organization to know how to balance those various mission requirements that are on you and make wise decisions on the allocation of resources, as our field commanders have to do when they're deciding where they're going to put their cutter patrol hours. But I would say managing that portfolio of all of the tasks we have on the water is probably job one.
You also the Coast Guard is within the Department of Homeland Security, so you also have a relationship with the leadership in the department overall. Can you tell us a little bit about the nature of that role as well?
Sure. The way the department is organized, they have what they call operating components. And that would be like the Coast Guard, Secret Service, Customs and Border Protection and so forth. And then they have departmental entities like the Undersecretary for Science and Technology, the Undersecretary for Management. So there are two lines that report to the Deputy Secretary and the Secretary, the Deputy and Assistant Secretaries, and then the component commanders. There are seven of us. We call ourselves a gang of seven. And we have a direct reporting relationship with Deputy Secretary Michael Jackson and Secretary Chertoff.
That's great. Admiral, the Coast Guard has a strong reputation for leadership development, a long history of being able to develop strong leaders in government. Can you give the listeners a sense of your career path and how the Coast Guard helped you to be able to develop your leadership skills?
Well, I think every job I've had in the Coast Guard has involved increasing responsibilities and exposure to leadership opportunities. In a way, the best way we can help the Coast Guard is to grow leaders, because we put people in leadership positions much, much earlier than a lot of the other services do. Junior officers coming off their first assignment on a ship can be assigned as commanding officers of patrol boats. We have pilots qualified very, very young. They're out there flying. And we put a lot of responsibility on folks' shoulders early on in their career. That's good and that's bad. It's good in that we get them seasoned early on, and by the time they're mid-grade and senior officers, they've had a lot of operational experiences. The bad part is we got to make sure that the organization that's doing its part in preparing those folks to meet those responsibilities, and that's a tremendous challenge for us. The way we do that, we've developed 21 basic leadership competencies, and whether we're talking about enlisted personnel or cadets at the Coast Guard Academy or officers coming in through OCS, we try and train and teach to those 21 leadership competencies.
So how critical are the concepts of strategic intent and mission focus in this leadership approach?
Well, one of the things I'm trying to do as Commandant is try and get us focused a little bit more strategically and kind of look up over the dashboard to the horizon a little bit. One of the things I tell my folks, and it's very, very easy to fall into this trap in Washington, is we get caught up in what I call the tyranny of the present. Those are the data calls, the questions for the record, the preparations for hearings, all the budget submissions pervade our daily life around here. And you get so caught up in the annual budget cycle and the annual hearing cycle that it's hard to kind of lift your head up, look over the horizon, and see where you're going. Since I was a one-star admiral back in 1998, 1999, working for Jim Loy, who ultimately became the commandant, we have been trying to create a way to have officers think more strategic about the context the Coast Guard is in government, what we are trying to do, and make decisions with strategic intent. If you think about it, when you enlist somebody in the Coast Guard, you're potentially making a 30-year decision. And I don't think we always realize that day, with everything else that's going on, that we're laying out where the organization is likely to be that far down the line. And I think when you take a small step, you ought to know the general direction you're moving towards. So I've stressed to the greatest extent possible to my flag officers and the folks that work for me that we have to develop the competencies in our senior leaders to think more strategically. And then when you're dealing with budget or anything else, you need to source to strategy or act with strategic intent.
Admiral, how have your experiences as previous Chief of Staff of the Coast Guard and more recently as the principal federal official during Katrina shaped your outlook and prepared you for your current role as Commandant of the Coast Guard?
Well, first, as Chief of Staff, I was the Chief Operating Officer of the Coast Guard as opposed to the Chief Executive Officer of the Coast Guard. So I handled most of the business in, and that included budget, the management of headquarters. I was also the Commanding Officer of headquarters. And as part of my portfolio duties there, since when I came into the job, we were actually part of the Department of Transportation. I was the departmental executive that was responsible for transferring the Coast Guard from DOT to DHS, all the various line items of support and services that we shared with DOT, and how that transition took place was my responsibility. So I gained a great deal of insight into the structural underpinnings of the Coast Guard that had to be transferred from one department to another. I think that helped a lot in understanding our organizational context within the department. My assignment as a principal federal official to Katrina probably gave me the same type of insight, but in the operational dimension of the department, in that how FEMA, Coast Guard, Customs and Border Protection all work against a larger problem set or mission tasking, and how that all comes together. And that informed a lot of my thinking when I was interviewed by Secretary Chertoff to be the commandant of where I thought the Coast Guard needed to go under his leadership.
It's fantastic. How is the Coast Guard partnering with other Homeland Security agencies? We will ask Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Thad Allen to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.